At the end of The Lord of the Rings, Frodo got on the White Ship and sailed west into the Undying Lands. But why? He was still young and the Shire was returning to its former peaceful self. Why did he have to leave? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into Tolkien's Legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. After the hobbits had returned to the Shire, removed Sharky and kicked out his ruffians, life slowly returned to normal. Sam replanted a lot of the trees and married his Rosie. Merry and Pippin lived the bachelor life for a while in Crick Hollow, throwing parties and riding around in their finery. All was well. However, Frodo lived a quiet life in Bag End, devoting himself to writing the story of their adventure in that red book. And after around 2 years, he left, joining Gandalf, Galadriel, Elrond and Bilbo on the White Ship. Why? Well, this is how Frodo himself describes it to Sam. "I have been too deeply hurt, Sam. I tried to save the Shire, and it has been saved, but not for me. It must often be so, Sam, when things are in danger. Someone has to give them up, lose them, so that others may keep them. But you are my heir. All that I had and might have had, I leave to you." He goes on to say that Sam can't come with him because he shouldn't be torn in two. He now has a wife and small family, soon to be a much larger family, and his heart was still in the Shire. But Frodo, well, what does it mean that he has been too deeply hurt? Well, there are a couple of wounds in particular that seem to trouble him, that play up terribly on the anniversary of him having got them. For example, we read this when the hobbits are travelling back from Gondor. They noted that for a while his eyes appeared not to see them or things about him. All that day he was silent. It was the 6th of October. "Are you in pain, Frodo?" said Gandalf quietly as he rode by Frodo's side. "Well, yes, I am," said Frodo. "It is my shoulder. The wound aches and the memory of darkness is heavy on me. It was a year ago today." "Alas, there are some wounds that cannot be wholly cured," said Gandalf. "I fear it may be so with mine," said Frodo. "There is no real going back. Though I may come to the Shire, it will not seem the same, for I shall not be the same. I am wounded with knife, sting, and tooth, and a long burden. Where shall I find rest?" Gandalf did not answer. And then, when they were back in the Shire, this. One evening, Sam came into the study and found his master looking very strange. He was very pale, and his eyes seemed to see things far away. "What's the matter, Mr. Frodo?" said Sam. "I am wounded," he answered. "Wounded, it will never really heal." But then he got up and the turn seemed to pass, and he was quite himself for the next day. It was not until afterwards that Sam recalls that the date was October the 6th. 2 years before, on that day, it was dark in the dell under Weathertop. Time went on, and 1421 came in. Frodo was ill again in March. Every October the 6th, Frodo was afflicted again with that first wound where he had been stabbed with the Morgul blade on Weathertop. And in early March, it was the echo of when he had been stung by Shelob, which left him cold as death. Perhaps over time, much of the other physical damage he took en route to Mordor will have healed, not his finger, of course. But Frodo was right. He never would truly heal in Middle-earth from the wounds he sustained during The Lord of the Rings. There's also the mental load of what he'd been through. Perhaps today we might talk of post-traumatic stress, and Frodo had undoubtedly seen and experienced terrible things in his journey, with an impact only exacerbated by his previously sheltered life in the Shire. But there was also at least a hint of magic to it. Who can guess at the longer-term impacts of taking the ring to the place where it was strongest and having to endure every moment of its pulling at him, manipulating him and trying to take control of him? And I also wonder whether there might have been some guilt there. Tolkien was very clear in his letters that in his mind Frodo didn't fail his mission, per se. He did everything that could possibly be expected of him, but that doesn't change the fact that Frodo will have had to live his life with the knowledge afterwards that, at the last, he didn't destroy the ring. he gave in to its power, or its power overtook him. Just look at his mental state in the moments after the ring was destroyed. Sam sees that a cloud has lifted from Frodo and is his usual positive self, trying to keep up Frodo's spirits, searching for a way out. But Frodo seems to have descended into a rather impassive, nihilistic mindset. But it's like things are in the world. Hopes fail. An end comes, he says. We have only a little time to wait now. We are lost in ruin and downfall, and there is no escape. Quite depressing stuff, and though his mood does pick up and he can eventually find hope and joy in his friends' happinesses, he never again seems to find it for himself. And as he said, he had saved the Shire, but not for himself. Finally, on their return home, Sam notices that Frodo cuts himself off from the doings of the Shire around him and was pained to notice how little honour he had in his own country. Merry and Pippin lapped up the glory, and even Sam was honoured, but not Frodo. Several scholars have suggested that in all this there is perhaps an echo of Tolkien's own experiences of returning from the First World War. He was hospitalised with trench fever, a disease carried by lice common among soldiers in trenches, and it took many months for him to fully recover while the war dragged on. He called the experience of war itself horrific and stated simply and starkly that by 1918, all but one of my close friends were dead. Soldiers had left England in the early days of the war filled with promises of glory and returned knowing only the hollowness of those promises. Surely Frodo's assertion that though the Shire might be saved, it was not for him will have felt profoundly personal to Tolkien too. We can sometimes underplay Frodo's heroism, focusing instead on Sam's more obvious depth of heart and courage, or Aragorn's leadership, but this is self-sacrifice. Frodo gave of himself for Sam and Rosie and Merry and Pippin and everyone else in the Shire and beyond. He did it at great cost to himself, and seems not to have begrudged them that for one instant. It must often be so, Sam, when things are in danger. Someone has to give them up, lose them, so that others may keep them. And it was only in the Undying Lands that he would find true healing and rest from his wounds. This wasn't a gift of eternal life or even ending his life and going to Hobbit heaven. This was rest and peace that he wouldn't ever be able to find in Middle-earth. A special dispensation was given to him to go there along with Bilbo and later Sam as ring-bearers. Sam couldn't go until he was no longer torn in two, so stayed in Middle-earth until his wife Rosie died and his children grown up. Then he took a ship to spend his last years once more with Frodo. Incidentally, George R.R. Martin references this exact point when talking about the feeling he wants to capture for the ending of A Song of Ice and Fire. Bittersweet, he calls it. The sweetness of knowing that the world has been saved, but the bitterness of knowing that not all can live to enjoy it. Perhaps Jon Snow will end that story, leaving the Seven Kingdoms and travelling north of the Wall for the same reasons Frodo left Middle-earth and sailed west. The world had been saved, but not for him. And there, just over the horizon, perhaps he would find peace and healing at long, long last. If you'd like to see more videos like this, digging deep into Tolkien's legendarium, there's a playlist appearing now on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.